Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hey Kids Comics. It's going to be a little bit weird today because we're doing this not in the radio station, but in our office. So if it sounds kind of weird, our apologies, but away we go. It's Martin.
Chris.
And Dan.
And we are all probably right now, I'm assuming, on the road or either getting back from Toronto Comic Con.
That's exactly right. We're going to the Toronto Comic Con. That's why we're pre-taping a show. Should be fun. Should be exciting. Pretty much everybody's going, aren't they?
I think so. Half the town.
So that should be fun. Yeah. Should be fun. Anyways, I guess we should start with news.
We start with news?
Start with news.
All right. Okay, here we go. So, The Killing Joke has announced some casting, the animated. So this is comic related. It's the animated Batman Killing Joke, which may or not be R-rated. We don't know. According to Sam, it should be. So Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill are back as Batman and the Joker. Tara Strong is doing the voice of Barbara Gordon. And I guess the guy who does Commissioner Gordon, Ray Wise, is back as well. So I don't know how I feel about that because it's not the animated series.
Yeah.
Right? So it's cool that the voices are there, but in the setting of the Killing Joke, I don't know how that's going to play out, right?
Yeah, like it's probably going to be way too dark.
Yeah.
Or maybe like you're going to hear Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill and you're going to be like, holy cow.
Yeah.
This is not what I remember or was thinking.
Yeah.
Right?
Like I guess we'll see once they do it, but it just seems like it's going to be strange to me.
I mean, it'll be good to have Kevin Conroy back because he's great.
Yeah, yeah.
But
and Mark Hamill, I mean, anything he does, you watch him on The Flash, even as the trickster or whatever, he is a Joker.
Yeah.
He's not going to get away from that. That's probably why he didn't have any speaking roles in the Star Wars, the new movie.
Well, being animated, there's no way it's going to be R-rated.
No.
Well, I mean, what were the other cartoons?
They were PG-13, I think.
Yeah.
A few of them have been pretty risque, though, right?
That Arkham one.
Yeah.
That was like, wow.
Yeah. That was pretty dark.
There was some swearing in there and some sex scenes.
Sex scenes, yeah. Wow.
So.
Yeah, so it's probably at least PG-13, I would think, for sure.
Now, before you move on, I don't know if this is old news or new news, but I thought I saw something where they said that the Killing Joke was never meant to be in continuity.
Well, I don't think we want to start that. Because, so they come out and say, last week in Batgirl, some villain or whatever actually, I don't know, I didn't read it, I read the article, but it was all fake memories implanted in Barbara's brain. So
she,
Oracle never existed. The Killing Joke never happened. So
basically the worst kind of retcon you can do.
Yeah. So let's go back and think of every single story that Oracle has been in that now was just a dream. It's worse than Dallas. And for the kids that don't know that reference, go look it up.
Yeah, but all that stuff was wiped out by New 52 anyways. I mean, they briefly said, oh, at some point in time in the 5 years that Batman was Batman, he had 5 Robins and a Batgirl who got shot, but got better. So really, I mean, they kind of threw it out the window with New 52 anyways.
They did. I mean, but this to me is just a lazy, well, we can't explain it, so it's not going
to
happen.
Well, that was the whole premise of Convergence, is to lazily just say, oh, whatever. You know, every Elseworlds story happened just on a different planet. Every single reboot happened, but just on a different, you know, multiverse. So
yeah,
they kind of set themselves up in Convergence to just do whatever the hell they want. Well, here they are, do whatever the hell they want.
Yeah. Well, then there was a Facebook post the other day about the Flash TV show, or sorry, Green Arrow, Arrow, and how Felicity's character is called Watch. What's her character? Her code name is
Overwatch.
Overwatch. And it was all about her and Overwatch. And I said, well, she can be Oracle now because Oracle never actually existed. Well, you know, the fanboys. Well, you know, this is all different universes, right? The TV series is in a different universe. So, you know, Oracle does exist in this universe. I didn't even bother replying because it was just, you know, if Oracle never existed.
The same Oracle, people are yelling at the radio right now.
Yeah, if Oracle never existed, then she never existed in the TV show Arrow either. So there, whoever Ollie references, there's already somebody named Oracle out there, doesn't actually exist.
Yeah, but the TV show universe is definitely a separate little thing. You know, they're definitely separate. I realize that.
But if Oracle never existed to begin with, how could there be a barber in a wheelchair shot by Joker in the Arrowverse?
Easy.
Ah, don't even get
because it's started. A separate thing. It's a separate anyways, thing. Hey, I lived through Captain America with a motorcycle helmet and a transparent plexiglass shield bombing out of a pedo van. Yeah. So if I could like see that and go, okay, I think you can handle Barbara Gordon being Batgirl.
Yeah, I don't know.
See, that's what I thought they should have done in the New 52 in the first place, is really start over. Yeah. Like, if they were going to start off Batman, say he'd been Batman for 5 years, introduce one of the Robins. There's no need to bring the whole crew out at once. That way, you know, if they had X number of years of that universe running, they could have Dick Grayson graduate, and then Jason Todd come in. They didn't have to have all of them at once. And then they didn't know what to do with Tim Drake. That was just a whole mess. Damn. The Teen Titans didn't work because, in theory, there was an original new Teen Titans. Yeah. But how does that fit in when everybody's, you know, of a certain age and 5 years of continuity? Well, it's not. It's like 40 years of continuity squished into 5 years. And that's why I think the New 52 really fell apart.
Well, because then you'd have to just dismiss Damian altogether.
Yeah, exactly.
Wouldn't even be born yet.
Exactly. Like, how on earth did Batman... Well, like, if Batman was Batman... How did they explain that? If Batman was Batman for 5 years...
So how does he have a 12-year-old son?
How does he have a 12-year-old son?
Yeah.
Magic.
Oh, we gotta do some math. How old did they say Batman was? 34 in the New 52 or younger?
I'm not sure.
Because I know that was roughly the age of Batman throughout the whole 60s, 70s, 80s was, they always roughly estimated he was around 34 and Superman was around 27. So I don't know if they changed that for New 52 or not, but you take 35 minus 12. Wow, Bruce. Kapow.
Because the only reason why he knew.
He was a holy terror in junior high.
Well, he was out training, was he not?
Yeah, exactly.
Ra's al Ghul and little Talia running. I don't know.
Crazy stuff. Anyways.
Back to the Batgirl thing for a minute, though. Like, if this whole rebirth thing is happening anyways, why necessarily just erase that history now?
Yeah.
You know, maybe it would have been
if you're gonna
better to just
it.
Wait. Yeah. But obviously we don't know the plans for rebirth. Maybe.
Now, who actually said this anyways?
The current creators on Batgirl, the writer and the artist are...
So really,
combination thereof.
Nobody in editorial, just some tweet by some creator?
I don't know.
You said it was something in the actual issue that came out this week.
Yeah, it was last week's issue where it was like...
Just one that none of us have read.
That's right.
Yeah, see, I don't get hung up on continuity to that point because I think it's ridiculous. I mean, they had, what was it, they had a dog in Superman when he was a kid, when he was Superboy. And then some other story came out and then they had a different dog. Then all of a sudden they had to put two dog bowls on the porch when they were telling a flashback story. So there was some way of explaining him having these two different dogs. Dogs don't last that long. I don't want to be cruel or mean, but, you know, their lifespan's significantly shorter than a human. So it's completely possible for a kid growing up in Kansas to have two dogs with two different names. We didn't have to put two bowls on the porch. That's getting a little bit crazy. So,
but now you're implying that dogs are comparable to Barbara Gordon as Oracle.
No, I'm just saying, like being that much of a stickler about continuity.
Yeah, but this is a bit... This is... I mean, you're talking, like, how many runs of Birds of Prey that were just a dream? Well, I don't know.
Like I said, the whole thing's just a dream.
I know it is, but it's just...
Like, Batman at no point in time put on rainbow costumes, and Superman didn't go blue and red and electrical, and all that stuff's gone. And, you know, in some cases, you know, thankfully, you know, we don't want Electro Superman anymore.
Yeah, the blue and reds.
Now, if we start talking about Wally West, then, we're going to talk.
Yeah. I don't know. Just, it doesn't sit right.
Yeah, they didn't have to. They didn't have to. Yeah, I mean, it's implied that it's not in continuity anymore because of the New 52, because of Rebirth, because of Convergence. They didn't have to go out and smash it to bits like that. They didn't have to take it off the shelf and throw it on the ground and say, this is what I think of your beloved story.
Yeah. But I guess that's what they said, is that after Convergence, it gives writers and creators on DC more of a wider berth to do what they want, right?
So I tell you what, we'll put it this way. On Earth 42, Killing Joke didn't exist.
Right.
But on Earth 1, Killing Joke existed, so these creators can just stuff it in their pie hole.
Well, when they did change Barbara last year, the year before, she just seemed to be a lot younger than what
she... Yeah, they made her a heck of a lot younger when she moved to Burnside, and it was really... like, I got two tween girls at home, and they just love that story. Yeah. They think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. So that was obviously the target audience that they were looking for is tweens and Sam.
I don't think Sam liked it, but I don't know for sure.
I don't know if he read it. I'd have to ask him.
Oh, boy.
We're just picking on Sam, but Sam's got a good point. I mean, he likes lighter fare because he also likes the heavy, heavy stuff. So he'll read an issue of Jacked.
Yeah.
Or something more heavy like that, and then he needs something a little lighter to balance off with.
What was the one we were talking about last time, Sam?
Oh, the Divided? Is that what it's called?
Oh, something like that. Yeah,
the Dividend, the Division.
So, I don't know.
The X-rated book.
I read X-rated that, book. And I didn't actually like it anywhere near as much as Sam. Yeah, it was... I mean, it's there, but it wasn't the greatest.
Yeah. Now, who brought up Rachel Rising? Somebody brought up Rachel Rising. He was either on a road trip.
Sam likes Rachel Rising.
Yeah, okay. So
now Sam said that he had a hard time reading Rachel Rising in individual monthly issues, that he was losing what was going on. And then one day he decided to kind of catch up and reread a bunch of issues, and he thought it was a much better story that way.
Okay, so this might be something for him then. Limited print run hardcover omnibus is coming out. This was on Terry Moore, is that the...
Yeah, I think it was Terry Moore.
Yeah, so this is all on her Twitter or whatever. Limited run, black cover edition, non-retail print run of 750 books, 800 pages, numbered and signed, $90, probably US. But
yeah,
I figured that would be something that... There's a good core audience out there, Rachel Rising. That would...
I do have a trick question when it comes to those omnibuses. Like, you've seen them, right?
Yeah.
Okay? I don't know about you, but I'm 47.
Mm-hmm.
I got, like, arthritis, gout, tinnitus,
yeah,
tennis elbow, tennis kneecap. I got carpal tunnel.
Yeah.
I got reading glass. Those books are heavy.
They are.
Holy moly. They're heavy.
Yeah.
Who sits there and reads at a desk or at a pedestal or at a podium in order to, like, support this massive tomb?
I just read issues. I don't read trade paperbacks or graphic novels typically or omnibuses. But so I guess today's Extraordinary X-Men was the first part of the Apocalypse Wars.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, perfect timing for the movie, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The return of Sugar Man. You guys remember Sugar Man from X? He was an X-Factor for a while.
Okay.
I think, yeah. But I mean, I'm not going to follow it. I'm reading Extraordinary X-Men, which is part one, but something about sending them into the future, and it's a future version of the Horsemen, which I won't say who they are, but they look pretty interesting.
So is this one of those multi-issue crossover things where
you got... As far as I know, it's going through every X-Men.
Ugh.
As far as I know.
I hate that so much. But at least
it's just in the X-Men titles and not an event, though.
Yeah, exactly.
That's still to come, right?
Because you either get every single issue of all the series that you weren't reading anyways to get the whole thing and then go, ugh, this wasn't worth it.
That's right. You
pick up your regular titles just so you don't have holes in your collection and have three or four books that make no sense and are just a waste of $4.99.
Should we get to the Brian Michael Bendis bashing, or should we leave that for later?
We can leave that for later. Right. That Extraordinary X-Men, that's the one that's got kind of like the homage cover to the X-Factor.
Yeah, it's got the Apocalypse and the X-Men around him, right?
Yeah. I think I saw, I haven't seen the issue yet because, well, we won't get into that, but
yeah.
I haven't seen the issue yet, but I did see some like sort of advanced images online, just small thumbnails and stuff. I thought that cover looked pretty familiar.
Yeah.
And people will be online using that cover and saying it's the first appearance of Apocalypse now.
Yeah. Now, the Horseman of the Future did intrigue me, but anyways, we'll leave that for now.
Just give us a little hint. Does it parallel the Four Horsemen in the movie?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Essentially, it takes one extremely popular Marvel character,
Deadpool,
and makes him a horseman, which is no surprise whatsoever.
And smacks of crass marketing.
Yeah. And there's another very, very familiar face as a horseman. But should we talk the Civil War trailer? Did you guys talk about it? I can't remember if we talked about that.
No, we did.
We've all seen it?
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, you haven't seen the new Civil War trailer?
I don't watch trailers.
Okay, fair enough.
In general.
Fair enough.
So then we shouldn't.
Go ahead. I'm okay with it.
Well, it's just the regular Civil War trailer, really, with just a few new segments spliced in, but still gave you the same basic idea, but at the very, very end, Tony Stark says,
Underoos.
And Spider-Man shows up.
Does the old web on Cap's shield and the X go away from
him. And fanboys went nuts!
Yeah.
Yes, I did see the fanboy outrage, backlash. The costume's terrible. No, it's great.
It looked very plastic to me. I don't know, but I think it's Tony. I think Tony has something to do with it, because the eyes shrink too, right? I think that's some kind of telescopic thing. I don't know, but it looked kind of funny to me.
Yeah, they're making the mask itself show facial motions and stuff. Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, that seems very symbiotic, like the Black Venom costume as opposed to, you know, a piece of cloth that he put on.
Yeah.
But I just hope they don't make the same mistake they made with Green Lantern and make the whole suit CGI and stuff, because that just looks...
It looked like it to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just looked plastic.
Now, granted, it's a trailer, so maybe it got thrown together real quick, and the FX shot isn't 100%.
That's what I was thinking.
They're going to tweak it, or maybe they were flying it up the flagpole and saying, hey, what do you guys think? And measuring the backlash and deciding to fire that CG studio and hire a different CG studio.
Yeah.
Or they're just trying to steal some spotlight away from the Superman-Batman movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A lot of Black Panther in the trailer, too.
Yeah.
They're really pushing him.
Yeah.
Sure. That was another thing that I saw in the news today, is that Marvel is just pouring out the merchandising for Black Panther. I don't know. I didn't read what they were doing. I just saw the headlines. Like, I'm sure there's going to be T-shirts and just really playing up the Black Panther aspect of it. But if you watch the trailer really closely, you kind of see Hawkeye fire an arrow, but you don't really see it too closely, but then you see the arrow flying and you see Ant-Man jumping off the tip of the arrow, which is, you know, a nice homage to the one famous cover that's out there. But,
that one famous cover that I always thought was worth a heck of a lot more than it actually is.
Right. That's right.
I don't know why. That's just a beautiful cover. Who did that anyways? Do you remember?
I'm not sure.
I'm a DC guy, so I got an excuse for not knowing, but you Marvelites.
But that, I mean, let's not get up too much off track, but that issue, if you've ever read that issue, you know, Tony's at the carnival, whatever, Clint, right? And he's in normal dress, and he's doing whatever, and then some bad guys start bullying him. He goes, I better check this out, but I want to not stand out. So he goes and he puts his Hawkeye outfit on. How do you not stand out by changing out of civilian clothes into your Hawkeye outfit? I just laughed when I read that.
That's a bit crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did notice that they've got, like, the cover of Black Panther number 2 on a T-shirt and stuff. That looks pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
If only we had some vendors in Peterborough that carried, how should we say, girth-appropriate geek wear.
That's right. Yeah.
But we don't.
We don't, no.
Still don't.
That's all right.
We're, apparently the biggest person in the world is an extra large. Just something I kind of picked up about, a little political, but not really. Obama's new choice for the Supreme Court appointment, Merrick Garland. It just made note that put himself through Harvard Law School by working as a tutor, by stocking shoes in the shoe store, and what is always a painful moment for any young man, selling his comic book collection.
There you go.
So the new, well, the new, not, you know, the appointee of the Supreme Court is a comic, the nominee, is a comic book fan.
Which, well, there you go. Or at least was.
Or was, anyways. Yeah. So that's probably all I had except for Michael Bendis.
More likely his mother sold a comic book collection on him.
Exactly.
To put him through college.
Yeah.
Well, I'm at lunch today, I brought in some of my
more
choice books, and I was Tony was giving me some values and stuff, and he definitely graded it. I guess I was a little hard on myself, because I had him graded much lower than he had him graded.
Yeah.
But again, you know, moderns are graded a little bit more stringently than Silver Age and Golden Age comics, so, you know, he's got a lot more experience in that department.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at the numbers that he's throwing out versus how much I paid for him just a scant 5, 6, 10 years ago, and I'm like, oh, I need the money. But if I keep him just 10 more years,
they'll be right back to where you bought
them. Like, should I sell him now, or should I wait till the bank's knocking at the door before I sell him? I just don't know. I mean, a couple of them I won't sell, like the Flash 123. That's just my that's my number one comic book. I didn't bring in my Justice League number 9. That's the one where the origins retold, so they're all standing there in the forest. One guy's turned into a tree trunk and all that stuff. So I didn't bring that one in because that was never leaving the collection either. But some of the other ones that aren't so near and dear, you know, Tony saying $1,200 here and $1,500 there, $2,700 there. And I'm like, what? So this non-appointee to the Supreme Court might be selling some of his comic collection, too.
That's right. Right, that's all I have for news, except for doing the old bashing of Brian Michael Bendis. So where do I want to go from here?
I don't know. What's the – you want to bash Bendis?
Okay, so you guys didn't read the link I sent you? That's fine. Okay.
I didn't see a link.
All right. I guess Bleeding Cool News picked up on this. International Iron Man number 1.
Oh, my gosh. I read that. That was so funny.
Yeah. Okay, so you did read it. So where to start?
I guess we should start at how ridiculous the whole idea of Invincible Iron Man International is in the first place.
Well, this is him. This is him 20 years ago, and I guess that's part of the issue, anyways. So they've got him at school at Cambridge University, which is, it's like an hour and a half north of London itself.
Yeah.
Right.
I thought Tony went to MIT, which is in Boston.
Well, yeah. That's,
which also has a Cambridge.
Yeah, that's his origin. Oh, but now, in International Iron Man, they have him going to Cambridge University in UK.
And this is without any kind of a convergence or Flash being bumped in the head or somebody stepping out of the shower. This is all...
Well, it starts out 20 years ago, right? Which would put it at, what, 1996-ish, right?
Yeah.
So he's in Cambridge. He's at a pub. I don't know much about soccer or whatever, but apparently these kids that that are chanting are... They wouldn't be there anyways. That's a minor point.
It says here that they're East London, West Hampshire United fans, which isn't anywhere near Cambridge.
No. Yeah. So Tony steps out of the pub, and all of a sudden he is in East London. And it's not like half an hour later. It's like he steps out of this pub in Cambridge, and he's an hour and a half away. And anyways, so apparently Bendis actually tweeted, said, well, actually, he was at his dormitory at Cambridge, which didn't help his case at all, right?
Oh, my God. So just bad research.
Bad. Okay, so that's just the beginning.
Yeah.
Right? So you read the article further, and I don't know who this girl is he's talking to, but she said, so you ended up Googling me, or you Googled me, she said. Well, the problem with that is Google wasn't invented until 1998. Right, and this is supposedly. I mean, you can argue time 20 years, maybe it was 18 years, But the term Googled as a verb was not created for years to come. Apparently it was first used in an episode of Buffy in like 2012. So again, people aren't checking their facts.
Yeah.
And then if you scroll down on the article, you see a couple, you see some people at a restaurant, and one of them is talking on a phone that looks an awful lot like a smartphone, maybe a flip phone, but that's not what cell phones looked like back in 1996.
Oh, I can tell you that. It's definitely not what cell phones looked like in 1996.
So Bendis has taken, I guess, a lot of heat over this. Like, I don't know if it's bad editing or they just don't care or...
Were there two dog bowls on the porch?
There was two dog bowls on the porch? I don't know. But I just... I'm just not a fan of Bendis at all, so I just enjoyed reading that article so much. But yeah, supposedly Tony went to... It says right in the article that he went to MIT in Boston at Cambridge. Not Cambridge in the UK, north of London. So I don't know what they're doing. It's just...
So Grant Morrison is sitting there just ranting and raving, going...
I don't know. But I mean, I like the fact that... So you Googled me. Well... One, Google doesn't even exist yet, let alone the term Googled, right? Like, come on, where's your editors? Where's your fact checkers? Do they just don't care anymore? Or,
like, well, on that earth,
yeah, this
Google
is
the... was invented in 1972. And...
But he looks like he's either texting or possibly reading the internet, which the phones back then did not have that capability. No. So, oh, I just enjoyed that article quite a lot. But it just goes to show you, Bendis is just like, I don't know.
Well, I really wouldn't blame Bendis for it, though. Like, it's really the editor or whoever.
I know.
Somebody should have been like, no, wait.
Yeah, but if you're editing Brian Bendis at Marvel...
He probably doesn't actually have an editor.
Yeah, I think you're not really saying
Hey,
much.
Brian, I think you missed a... Shut up.
Yeah,
you're right. It's all fine.
Yeah, I think you got a problem here.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Is that just from Cambridge? And that's no, you're fired.
I don't know. It just seemed really. I laughed when I read it, but so that's it for me for news.
So, but what about the actual issue? I'm sure none of us have read it.
I have not read it.
No,
because it was one that we weren't looking forward to reading.
No,
I'm not interested in that at all.
Making fun of the concept of two Iron Man books, including the International Iron Man.
Well, in theory,
is it in Cambridge, UK, because the title's International Iron Man. Is that the only reason they came up with, like,
well,
make it in the UK then?
Yeah, our title's called International Iron Man. We're going to put him in Boston. Boston, Massachusetts. How do you like them apples?
That's not international enough.
Oh, man.
No.
That's hilarious. I don't know. I mean, they've got amazing Iron Man. They've got... Invincible Iron Man, no, International Iron Man. Do we need three Iron Man books?
No.
I know Tony Stark's not in the first one, but we all know that's an Iron Man book.
Yeah.
Amazing. Spider-Man rant incoming.
Yeah, amazing Spider-Man. I mean...
Are you still reading that? Because I dropped it.
I dropped it because, like, I did notice that, Tony Stark made a joke about the fact that Peter Parker is more Iron Man-ish than he is and more Tony Stark-ish than he is. And it's like that Squirrel Girl number one, the second one in the same year where they make fun of the fact and kind of, look,
we have two number ones
in the same year. Isn't that funny? It's not. It's not funny. It's derivative. It's not funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I dropped Amazing Spider-Man. You read it?
I read the first issue and just went,
yeah. Because I really don't think... I'm sure there's a bunch of continuity nuts. Like, I still get Flash, even though I'm not particularly enjoying that, simply because I've been reading Flash forever.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's a bunch of guys out there that want to make sure that their Spider-Man collection is 100% complete.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine that thing's got great sales numbers.
No. I mean, Alex Ross is doing the covers, right? Is he not? But
yeah.
That kind of interests me, but then this wasn't enough.
Yeah. So. No, I like Spidey better. I know some people were saying that it's a little too much like the movie, but it just seems more action-y. It seems more 1970s Spider-Man, you know? There's a fight every issue. There's a swinging through the panels. There's, Aunt May's giving him crud. And he's, you know, fighting for a job. And, you know, J. Jonah Jameson's like, ah, Spider-Man. I don't know. It just seems like that's Spider-Man.
Well, I'm reading Spider-Man Deadpool.
Yeah. How's that going?
It's funny. Like, I like it. It's, to me, more classic Spidey, you know, with his sayings and tauntings or whatever, versus Deadpool and his firing it right back at him, right? And I just... I just laugh. I read it and I just laugh. Like, it's, I mean, I bought the first issue and then I didn't read it and then I went to see the movie.
Yeah.
And then I picked it up. You know, you've got who's, they're in the first issue, they're fighting somebody. I know they were fighting, what's the Hydra Man or whatever the guy is in the Spidey's villain. It's all made of water. I think it was him. But anyways, they're fighting somebody and, I think it was him. And Spidey goes to Deadpool, how's your healing factor working? He goes, oh, that's good. And Spidey reaches over, unclips three grenades, still on Deadpool's belt, and pushes him in to the bad guy. And, you know, and he just explodes. And I just started laughing. Right? Like, it just really surprised me how funny it was.
Well, I'm going to have to read that. Because I saw the Deadpool movie, too, and I thought, maybe I should get into Deadpool, because I've never really read Deadpool.
Yeah, see, I don't really have any interest in just Deadpool. But the fact that it's Spider-Man and Deadpool.
I read the first five issues of the current Deadpool, and I didn't think it was very good. Yeah. You know, I didn't like it at all. But somebody was saying that the very first Deadpool series is really good. That kind of set it all up, and that's sort of what made the character popular was that first series.
I think I got into Deadpool from reading his Wolverine Origins story written by Daniel Way, and I would recommend that one.
Yeah.
Like, it was just hilarious, and it's way funnier than Deadpool now. So
yeah, I think that's the one that they were saying. Daniel Way, isn't he like a musician of some kind?
I don't
My Chemical know Romance much about or something.
Him. I'm not sure.
I think that's the one that they told me to look up. Forgive the keyboard strokes. We're gonna type in here, Daniel
but
Way.
Yeah, so because he sort of brought Deadpool into the Wolverine Origins for an arc, and then took that off and started the whole actual Deadpool storyline before the Marvel Now thing took over.
Yeah, no, so he's just a
guy.
Yeah,
just a guy.
So he briefly appeared in that Wolverine origin story. Launched Deadpool Volume 2. So yeah, maybe I should start reading Volume 2 instead.
Yeah, I would say Volume 2 is pretty good.
63 issues of Volume 2, so that might be a good, healthy chunk. But yeah, I read the new one, and I mean, it's kind of like, what's her name? Spider-Woman now has this team of misfits, and Harley Quinn has her, what is it, the quintuplets of Harley, or the Harleyettes or something. She's got her little gang, and I was reading the Deadpool, and he's got his own little gang of all these Deadpool knockoffs.
Yeah,
Deadpool Corps.
Latin Deadpool and Polish Deadpool. I don't know.
Headpool.
International Deadpool. Amazing Deadpool. You saw that coming, did you?
No, I just read issue 2 yesterday of issue 3 of Spider-Man Deadpool is out, but I had to go back and get 2. It was good. It had Miles teaming up with Spidey to go against Deadpool.
Really?
It was good. There was a really funny moment in that, too, but I don't know if it's radio appropriate, so I'm not going to
There you go.
I'm not going to say, but it made me laugh, too.
I think there was a variant of one of those issues in the last comic block.
Oh, yeah?
I could be mistaken.
Yeah.
I don't know. Those variants are kind of weighing down on me. I think I've got the last 3 months' worth sitting in a pile. I haven't even sorted them or looked at them. Or don't even know what's there, really, but...
Yeah.
And then we got some nice, lovely variants coming for Toronto Comic Con. The exact same Fan Expo Star Wars number one that has been available at the last two Fan Expos, or the last Fan Expo and Toronto Comic Con.
So leftover stock.
Leftover
stock that you can buy at Joe Nerds.
Yeah, they have a couple new ones. Like, they've got, which I'll probably pick up, they've got Rob Layfield. I think it's a Spider-Man Deadpool issue that he did.
Issue 2 or 3? I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember. I think it's...
Harry asked me to pick one up for him.
Yeah, I forgot that Rob was even going to be at the Fan Expo.
Yeah. So his lineup's going to be huge. All the people that hate
Marty will be there first.
Yeah, that's right.
Sign my Deadpool.
That's right.
New Mutants 98.
I gotta get it graded.
Yeah, I guess we talked about that, and I'm just not sure what I want to do there.
Yeah.
I've got a New Mutants 98, and everyone's saying that I should get Rob Liefeld to sign it and then grade it. It'll be worth more. But really, I'm looking on the flea bay, and I don't see a lot of extra value to having Signature Series. I mean, the 9.2 is pretty much the same price as a regular 9.2, and the 9.8 was pretty expensive, but
yeah,
what 9.8 is it? So right. I really don't know. There's a heck of a lot fewer of them on eBay. I think there were 16 versus whatever it was, 300 or something of the raw copies. Not raw copies, but unsigned copies.
Yeah.
More keyboard strokes.
Can we say stroke that many times?
I'm going to have a stroke in a second.
Yeah, I was disappointed to see that they're recycling all the Fan Expo exclusives at Toronto Comic Con. It saves me money anyways.
It's a new t-shirt and a new mug, though.
New t-shirt, new mug, couple new comics, but a lot of recycled stuff.
So, yeah, 53 listings for CGC New Mutants 98, 16 of which are our Signature Series. Like, here's an 8.5, $450 Canadian, signed. What's a regular 8.5 worth? Here's an 8 worth $434 for an 8. So really, I don't know if it's going to add that much value to it.
But you're supposed to get it because you love Rob Liefeld.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the whole reason for me having this issue was a momentary lapse of reason while on the porcelain throne with my phone in my hand and in eBay. I mean, I don't know.
So you're telling me that you put your money down the crapper.
Holy moly. New Mutants 98 Deadpool, the only CGC 9.8 double front cover Signature Series Stan Lee. Stan Lee and who? Where are we here? Oh, it's printed with two front covers and signed by Stan Lee. So this is
$1,500.
This is a double cover. $8,800
Holy
is the
bananas.
That's the asking price, and he's got 11 offers. So that's $11,000 Canadian. Nobody's going to pay $11,000 Canadian for a double cover New Mutants 98 signed by Stan Lee. That's not possible.
I don't get the double cover thing. Like, why do people want ones that are error variants and stuff like that?
Because it's just they're different. Apparently one of a kind, or one of a very few kind anyways, right?
Yeah, it's just
I've seen an argument before where a guy had set his Edge of the Spider-Verse number 2 straight from, like, it didn't even go to him. He ordered it and sent it straight to the CGC for grading, and it was missing, like, 5 pages.
Right.
And it got graded as a qualified 9.8, missing 5 pages. And so he put it up on eBay, like one-of-a-kind error variant.
Yeah.
It's not. It's a garbage book.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not an actual one-of-a-kind variant. I can tear five pages out of probably not. I can tear 5 pages out of mine if I want to make it the exact same as yours.
Right? Yeah, exactly. You know?
I can staple a cover to New Mutants 98 if I want.
Maybe yeah, I just can't see it being worth, you know, the time and the effort. Like,
but I don't mind Rob Liefeld. Like, I know some of his stuff is... People always bring up the Captain America sideshow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but right? You see...
And the small feet.
Like, I read all of New Mutants when it came out. I read X-Force. I thought it was good. I liked it.
Yeah,
yeah, his art style was a bit cartoony, a bit exaggerated and stuff. And yeah, okay, he drew big, huge, massive chest Captain America. But, yeah. I mean, other people draw big, huge, massive chest Power Girls and nobody's complaining, right?
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
So I kind of liked his stuff. I mean, yeah, it's not hyper-realistic like Jim Lee, but it's a style. Like, you got guys out there, old school guys that are like, you know, Carmine Infantino was an amazing artist. His later stuff looks just as stylized as Liefeld's.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't mind his stuff.
Well, for me, he's part of my history with comics, right? Like, he's right up there with, like, Jim Lee and stuff. But
who actually created Deadpool? Sorry, I should Google and talk on the radio show at the same time.
Well, I think, well, that's another issue I saw, but I think I think now Rob and Fabian are getting dual credit now.
Yeah.
Well, you see, that's the other thing. Rob Liefeld got slammed for that. The basic gist of what he said, like he said something about the janitor, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Basically what he said is, I don't care how little of a contribution you made to something that I created. If you contributed even an iota, I'm sharing credit with you. He didn't specifically say that Fabian did nothing but a teeny tiny little iota of stuff. He was just saying that he's the kind of artist that if he gets any help whatsoever, any collaboration, regardless of the size, he's going to acknowledge that person. It wasn't really a slight against Fabian. I saw on Twitter, Fabian later was like, you know, all's good. Everything's cool. I just think Liefeld didn't express it as well as he could have. But that was his gist of it. He wasn't saying that, you know, Fabian contributed as much as a janitor did.
Yeah.
He was just basically generalizing, saying, even if you're the janitor cleaning my office while I'm working on a guy and you come by and say, geez, it'd be cool if there was more ammo packs and more belts and pouches on the guy. Yeah, he's going to give you some credit for that.
Did the janitor give him that suggestion? Is that why everybody has those ammo pouches?
I have no idea. The 90s with the brown leather jackets and the sleeves pulled up and all the ammo pouches everywhere. That was a big thing.
Yeah,
that was huge.
Yeah. What's the series that you introduced us to? Aurora Man. Yeah, is there a Kickstarter starting soon on that?
The Kickstarter, as I was going to ask Jeff for an update, but I forgot because I was busy. But it looks like he's saying the Kickstarter is going to be starting real soon.
Yeah.
Sometime, maybe even within the next couple of weeks from the gist of what I read.
Yeah, because there was something posted this morning.
Yeah.
Where is he located?
Humboldt, Saskatchewan.
Because there was a picture this morning.
Yeah.
And that clock tower looked an awful lot like Peterborough's.
I was going to send you that too.
You know, I had to look at it several times, but it looked just like the corner of Peterborough Square.
Well, the first top panel is Captain Canuck. Or Northgard, I can't really tell which one.
Okay.
But I think Canuck, but I could be wrong. And then the middle panel was Aurora Man, the bottom panel was that clock tower.
Well, we'll have to ask Jeff.
He said
maybe he knows we're in Peterborough and he's trying to kidnap us through Aurora Man or something.
He said that particular panel was a tease for some sort of a exclusive that's coming out for a comic convention in Humboldt.
Oh, okay. Because I had to do a double take. I was like, man, that looks just like the corner of Peterborough Square.
Oh, I totally Googled it. Yeah, it's exactly the same, except the Peterborough one has a little bit extra at the top.
Okay.
But other than that, it looks almost just identical. No, I was totally going to send him a thing. Hey, what are you drawing Peterborough for?
Okay. So it wasn't just me. All right.
Yeah, so that looked pretty good. So yeah, where was that? Lindsay Hero Fest. You were selling at Lindsay Hero Fest Chris?
Yes.
That was an RH show. It wasn't great, but...
It's pretty quiet.
I didn't tell you guys what happened to us. So me and Sarah went the next day, and all the stars had canceled.
Oh,
they were
really?
All gone. So we got in for $10 each, which was a better price.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, there was nobody there really the next day, as far as like the talent.
Well, there was the two girls, one from Corner Gas and the one from Black Christmas, was it?
My Bloody Valentine.
My Bloody Valentine.
I think that the girl from Corner Gas canceled because she was too close to Chris.
Yeah, I kind of freaked her out a little bit. Yeah.
You freaked her out.
Yeah, I made the wrong approach. But she was sitting right behind me. But anyways, I had a better conversation.
That's in the court system right now.
Yeah,
we'll let you know
what's better
out.
With the actress from my Bloody Valentine.
There you go.
I had a great conversation with her.
Cool.
Yeah, she was really nice. I said, I was going to bring my Blu-ray cover to the movie. And I to get you to sign it, I totally forgot. And she wasn't there. That was Saturday, and she wasn't there on Sunday.
Yeah.
She goes, well, so I got her to sign a picture. And then she goes, well, here's my address. If you want to mail me a copy of the Blu-ray cover, I'll sign it and mail it back to you. I was like, oh, cool. So I think I'll actually send her the actual cover because it's
Yeah, for sure.
Get her to sign it. And so.
Yeah, if the cover ever disappears, I'm sure you could pick up that cover from Chumley's or something.
It's
just
a scam to get multiple covers of that.
Yeah.
For some reason.
But I was surprised it wasn't as many comics as I thought there would have been.
Yeah.
I mean, there was the guy from Great Collectibles beside a couple of booths down.
Yeah.
There's Kevin from Comic Book Lounge beside you. You had some books. But realistically, that was it.
Yeah.
Alfonso, I'm going to butcher his last name. It's not Esposito. Studio Graphics.
Oh, yeah, Subdown, yeah.
He was at the end. He was selling his comics.
His own comics.
But those are the self-published ones. That stuff's fun.
Yeah.
He gave me the first three issues of a new title, and I want to read it before I kind of plug it on the radio.
Yeah.
But his other books that he's doing is actually quite a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Something we should get to promote more Canadian creators.
Yeah. Well, I had fun because the vendors and the artists across from me, Hugh Rookwood, he's from Spent Pencils, but he also has his own studio.
Yeah.
And he was funny, but he ended up doing his own. I bought prints from him. I bought prints at Gotham, the birthday party, from him. He's got some great stuff, but he came over and, you know, he grabbed some comics and we did a trade. He gave me a print and he's got his own comic now that he draws and co-writes. He said he had he got somebody to help him write it.
Was it Apocalypse 4?
Something like that, yeah. I haven't read it yet.
Because I got the first issue from him signed.
Yeah.
At a previous show.
Okay.
But I don't think I ever bumped into him again to get the next few issues.
Yeah.
But it seemed alright. A little bit dark, but...
Yeah. He's a funny guy, though. We had some good laughs.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so Daniel found a nice comic there, too, right?
Yeah.
And then you
yeah, found Daniel found that... was it Death of Gwen Stacy? Was that 121?
No, that was at the auction.
No, he found one there, too.
Yeah.
But he found a really nice one there. He bought that from that guy, Great Collectibles.
Yeah.
GRA Collectibles, and... paid. I'm not going to embarrass him by telling you how much he paid for it, but it paid a way heck of a lot less than he did at the auction.
And apparently it's better shape than the one at the auction.
Oh, it's really nice. Yeah. It's very nice. Like, he got a great steal on that.
And then speaking of steals, Marty.
Yeah, well, I bumped into Dan Day, who, him and his, I'm going to say brother, but it could be cousin or uncle, or I don't know the exact relation, but they painted the covers to... New Triumph, which featured Northgard from Matrix, was the publisher, Mark Sheenbloom's publisher. So he had some stuff there on the table, and I was just, you know, I just saw this older fellow sitting at the table, and he had some art there, and I'm like, oh. So I'm just leafing through it, because, you know, I like original art, and I'm just leafing through. And then all of a sudden, there's you know, Northgard, penciled and inked, and it's the cover to issue 2, and I'm like... okay, it's a bit of a weird size and stuff, and I know the cover's painted, so I'm like, oh, how much for this? He says, what's it say on it? And I'm looking there, and there's some scribbles on it from the 80s, and it says $20. I'm like, it says $20. Well, $20. I'm like, okay, well, you know, maybe it's a recreation or something like that he did. I didn't pay any attention to it. And then I'm leafing through, and there was another one, and it looked like the pencil preliminary sketches for issue 4. So I get them, and as I'm like, but I paid for them, I put them in my bag, and it's dawning on me, this thing is dated 1984, I think it was. The pencils are there, the ink's there, it's Dan Day, it's signed by Dan Day, and the border it says Dan Day. So I got you to get his email from him later, and I sent him off an email, and I said, you know, what's the story on these? Are these just like cover preliminary sketches or something? He goes, nope, that's the original pencils and inks. We then projected that on a canvas, and then traced it out on the canvas and painted the canvas. So he says, no, that is what I would consider the original pencils and inks for issue number 2 of New Triumph, and then the other one's just pencils for issue 4, because I guess by that time they just projected it on the canvas and painted straight from that instead of inking it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's a so bit.
This is like pieces of history of Canadian comics.
This is like some pretty cool pieces of Canadian comic history, and I haven't had a chance to. Like, I posted on Facebook a little bit, but I don't think Mark has seen it there because he's having a few health issues there that's keeping him offline. But be interesting to show him to him and see what he says in Toronto, because if these are original Northgard covers for $20 a piece. There's got to be at least 3 collectors that would pay more than $20 a piece for
them. Over 30 years old.
I mean, we make fun about Captain Canuck and how few Captain Canuck collectors there are in the world compared to Spider-Man collectors or Deadpool collectors. But how many Northgard collectors are there?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. I was happy with that.
Yeah, so I guess Dan's from, like, the Belleville area.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because I actually went on Sunday and I was talking to him a bit. And he had only done the 2... things for Northgard because I specifically asked
him. Yeah.
But I ended up picking up a bunch of stuff because he did a lot of illustrations for cards.
Yeah.
And so he had a whole like booklet full of like the actual cards, and then you could buy the sketches that he had made the cards out of. And Sarah and I found some cool like Star Trek original series pencils and stuff that he did, and I bought some of those because they were really neat. And he's even done like Game of Thrones cards and Harry Potter cards, which is pretty cool. But yeah, so he's from somewhere in around Belleville. I can't remember. It was one of the small towns out that way. But
well, that explains cool. it, because that was just kind of kitty corner. And I kept hearing someone say, "Are you sure you don't have any more Northgard? Are you sure?"
Slamming down on the table, "I need some Northgard."
It's pretty funny because I walked away being a little bit bitter that I didn't get the Spider-Man, let alone the Northgard. But I think the Northgards are a bit cooler.
Yeah.
One of a kind pieces, anyways. Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. I also met the inker for Captain Canuck Reborn, Eric, and I'm going to butcher his name, Thibert. Je ne parlez-vous en français.
Thibault.
And he did the pencils and did some work on the French language part of Reborn. So, of course, you know, you've got the French Reborn. So the first thing I was like, you got any copies, guy? Copies? And he's got his own personal copy.
Yeah.
But he's not willing to let that go. But he is mailing me, I can't remember, there's 4 or 5 copies of Captain Canuck Reborn number 2.
Yeah.
So we'll have a few extras.
The French version.
No, the English one, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it doesn't have any of the French ones.
See you stroking your beard over there, hatching a plan.
I mean, we got eBay sales for 2 of them at $50.
But yeah, there's another one that's been sitting there, though.
So if I buy that one for $50, does everyone automatically assume that 3 sold at $50 and the next 6 will sell at $40?
If they don't listen to the show, then yes.
There you go.
That's right.
There you go.
Maybe I'll take this opportunity to let you know that I actually found a couple copies of that Reborn number 2 for $2 American.
Excellent.
Plus shipping ends up being about $20 each, but I found 2 copies.
Where'd you find that? My comic shop?
I don't remember which. It was just some random site I Googled, and it popped up, and I was like, done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got those with the Northgards, or?
No, it was a separate thing. Yeah. Yeah, I picked up a bunch of the Northgard first prints and stuff from my comic shop.
Yeah.
Through eBay.
Because that's where I got my first Cap Canuck Reborn number 2. Was from them. I remember it was like $2.45, but it was like $30 shipping.
Yeah.
So here I am going through their list of stuff, trying to add stuff just to make up, and it was just kind of crazy. So.
Did they combine shipping?
Yeah.
They did, yes.
Yeah, they combined shipping. I don't even want to talk about that. Yeah, I bought the Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Neil Adams variant cover?
Yeah.
And, he did not combine shipping. I bought 2 copies from him. They ended at different times. And then when I got the first one, I figured, okay, well, I'll get a couple of more comics from him, and he'll combine shipping on everything. No, all 6 comics came individually, full price for shipping. And, yeah, ouch. Now I'm stuck with these very expensive copies of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Batman. So I don't know. I think I might have to get those signed by Neil or something to...
Yeah.
But again, if Neil's charging, was it $50 as a signature?
Yeah, I'm not, I don't remember.
Would you pay $100 for a signed Neil? No, I didn't think so. No.
Slab 9.8.
Sure. Then we slab it for $30.
Then maybe I'll pay $100.
Yeah, then we slab it for $30 US. So all of a sudden we're talking $150, $175. I think I might cut my losses and just keep one and figure out what to do with the other one. Maybe I'll make it more rare by burning it, so there's only 2,499 of them.
Yeah. Tear 3 pages out.
Tear 3 pages out.
One put of kind.
Take the covers off and staple it on me.
Down to the other.
I'll put it in the paper cutter there and cut it in a diamond shape and look, oh, a die miscut. See if that sells.
Yeah, oh. Well, I still got a stock of comics at home waiting for you to trade. So
It might get to that.
I'm patient.
Because there's no way I'm going to get $50 for that comic to recover my costs. Maybe I'll get $40 in trade.
Yeah, I'll be generous.
There you go.
Yeah.
Selling me your 25-cent comic books for $3 a piece. We know how this works. It must be getting close to the end of the show because my screen just blanked out on my computer.
Do you guys read anything good?
Did I read anything good? I've been reading Stray Bullets.
Yeah.
Daniel
did
and...
You don't regret buying that?
No, not at all. The
so
Daniel
Sam's not
going
to get that, get your run then?
I don't think so. Yeah, Daniel and Sam Tweedle turned me on to Stray Bullets. And it's actually funny. There's this one little bit, a girl named Amy Racecar. And I read her first two issues. It's like a story within the story. And they were both like, oh, Amy Racecar. I skipped those issues. And I read the first one. I'm like, yeah, it was great. What are you talking about? Amy Racecar is best. They're like, well, yeah, the first one's good. But it goes downhill from there. So I'm like, oh. So we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, it's an interesting read for sure. It's one of those things, though, that I have a problem with characters that aren't in costume. Mm. You know, Batman is Batman. You can tell Batman. But all the different characters in Walking Dead, I can't tell the difference between, you know, Nigel and William or Bob and Frank and, you know, Rick's easy until he had a beard and then he looked like Jesus and so I get confused. So this one's the same thing. It's all like civilians and stuff. So there's some kid there that I'm supposed to know, but I don't know.
I'm still reading Mighty Thor. It's still good. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I haven't read any of the new issues, but after you recommended it back before Christmas, I started reading the previous issues where Jane Foster first took over, and I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah,
I managed to find a what if, and the what if is what if Jane Foster became Thor.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of apropos. I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
I don't know if that issue's like hit the speculator market because
it,
of that.
It
yeah,
did.
It did.
For sure. Yeah.
So yeah, I found a copy of that.
Is it settled down or is it still worth a ton?
I think it's settled down a bit. Like you can get an 8.5 for like $70 or something.
Oh, that's
Canadian.
Not too bad. Yeah. That's not too bad.
So next Saturday we'll have stories of Toronto Comic Con.
Yeah, next Saturdays we'll have Do we really want to get into it? We haven't even left yet.
Yeah.
And there's already turmoil and strife and weirdness and you know, what was going to become one car going down is now three or four because everybody wants to sleep in or not sleep in and get there early and not get there early.
Yep.
I still haven't broken it to anybody that I have a dealer pass waiting for me. So as soon as we get there, I'll be seeing you guys later in the lineup and I'll just be like, see ya. I'll meet you inside.
What's that? Oh, yeah, Hamilton. Oh, the wife got me the VIP. I'll see you guys later.
Yeah, exactly.
Same as I heard, so I just wait.
That was the best. Yeah, we went to the Hamilton Comic Con. I guess my wife bought me a VIP pass. And I had the regular pass as well, so I have both. So we actually paid a lot to get in.
Yeah.
And I was just like, maybe you should check with me next time. This is a really cool present. Thank you. But next time, check with me. So, yeah, we got there and I was just like, all right, I'll see you guys later. Bye.
Yeah. It's raining and cold. Oh, I'll see you later.
And then he comes walking out with arms full of comic books that you want for cheap.
That's right.
Well, I'm telling you, right now, that's my number one goal is to try to see how many Northgards and Captain Canucks I can find in there. And we'll try not to be too greedy.
So I think there's leave me your cast offs.
Well, I think there's a few people out there that are going to be looking for
they're yelling
Northgard
at the
stuff.
Radio right now.
Yeah, because I know Chris Else is looking for Northgard.
Yes.
Martin Peterson. He's looking for it. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
See how it goes. I got some Stray Bullets issues to get to because I think I only have a complete run to 24, then 25. I think I got 33 and 41. So I need the ones in between. So I'll be fighting Sam. No, Sam will be in the autograph aisle, so.
Yeah, he'll be busy.
He'll be busy. Tune in next week. Same bat time, same bat channel, and we'll see how it goes. All right. Good night.